Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
And welcome to the Character Concerns Draft Special. Myself, Jay Binkley, with my partner, as always, does every single Character Concerns with me that we put out on Tuesday, Chris Unocera. What's up, Chris?
How's it going, man?
It's going good.
Had to fight through the traffic.
Fight
out
through
there
the traffic
on 35 just to get here.
Man, we're 3 weeks
very
away.
Very annoying. I didn't get here until like 5:30, so I was a little right. Pissed coming in.
You're right. Julio Sanchez is here. This is old school, man.
What's going on, fellas? How's it going?
How's it going, buddy?
Julio! JT still here. Was with Dot today.
That's right. Long time no talk, huh?
Yeah, this is the old crew here.
Just so y'all know, this is a Character Concerns Draft Special. We got a lot of sponsors here today. First one brought to you by Salvation's Army Down for the Challenge. Make sure you register today to rappel down GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium May 22nd at downforthechallengekc.com. I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Ain't no way I would ever do that.
I think Cody did it last year.
I'm not doing it. Yeah, Cody did do it last year.
And Roxanne, I think, did it too.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Who are you going to rappel?
You're going to rappel? That's like... You get married not long after that, so I don't know if you want to.
I'm probably going to hard pass on that.
You probably going to hard pass on that.
I'm going to hard pass on that. That's all you.
Yeah, I'm passing on that too.
You're going to pass on. We had a lot to get to tonight. Usually, if you haven't downloaded the Character Concerns podcast, we've been doing this ever since the Chiefs draft back in the day when it
before 23.
Yeah, when it was at Kansas City, we started in February. Nick Schwartz was with us at that point.
He was. Yeah.
But you and I carried it on through. Whether it's the summertime, whether we looked at players, the prospects, the matchups they had during the week of college football, we looked at that. We'll definitely look at the Kansas City Chiefs draft in specific and maybe some draft-related things as well. Thor Nystrom, one of our draft guys, comes on at 6:15 today. He's always good. People like him and Josh Edwards, one of our guys from CBS that does a lot of mocks out for CBSSports.com, will join us at 7:30. But other news from the Chiefs today, Mike Edwards coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs, which could change the draft to some extent. You and I weren't wild on the safeties in this year's draft.
I mean, there's good safeties, but...
Later on, though.
No, there's some good ones at the top.
Well, Amanawari, but you're not going to draft them early.
And Malachi Starks, too.
But you're not going to draft
them
really
good options. But I don't think you were drafting the safety high, no. Like, we have looked at safety in, like, the seventh round. Or at highest, maybe, like, the fourth round with, like, Andrew Mukuba from Texas. But, yeah, it's not a class where you were feeling like there was a safety you needed to get. And to be honest, I'm not sure the Chiefs were ever going to get a safety if they were going to get one high at all. I thought earliest you were going to get was maybe fourth, but probably seventh.
In a one-year deal, the interesting thing about Mike Edwards, he was on that Super Bowl team with the Chiefs. He was on the Super Bowl team with the Buccaneers whenever they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, so he's got two rings.
He's got two rings. Last year, he played with Buffalo in the beginning, was kind of a role player with them. He was released. He ended up going to Tennessee, by the way, released by them. Finally, the Buccaneers took him back. He ended up starting five games. He's only 28. But he was with two teams last year and was released two different times last year. So is what it is.
Yeah, but he's still a good depth addition. You're not expecting him to start. You're looking at him as the third safety for the Chiefs. That's what he was when he was here in 2023. So you're not talking about a guy who's like a big impact safety, but he was a guy that whenever he had his name called, he did do pretty well in the limited time that he got back in the 23 Super Bowl season.
Chiefs have 8 picks in this year's draft, pick number 31 at the end of the first round, into the second round, pick number 63. But it's a quick turnaround because they got pick 63 and 66, which is pretty cool. That's the hot zone for Rhett Veach, at least a couple years ago, and that's via Tennessee. That'll actually be the second pick in the third round because they rotate the top three because they tied with the same record with Tennessee Titans winning the tiebreaker despite all that money they spent last year in free agency on defense. No quarterbacks. If you listen to Character Concerns, not fans of Will Levis. Man. But they went Will Levis.
Man.
Anyway, round 3, pick 95. Round 4, pick 133. Then there's an abyss there in the 5th and 6th round. No picks as of yet. I'll use the word yet. As of yet.
Don't sleep, especially with them having 3 7th round picks. Don't sleep on them seeing if they can move up, if they like a guy that, and also they could, they have a 4th round pick they got from the Bears in the Joe Tooney trade for in 2026. So you could see them move that pick as well.
Future picks to can get be in, moved.
To move back up into like the 5th or 6th round if there's a guy that they really like.
In the 7th round, 3 picks, number 226, number 251, which was a comp pick in the 7th round. Then Mr. Irrelevant, round 7, pick number 257 for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, last year it was Jaden Hicks that was drafted. Dane Brugler had him as his top safety in the league, 39th on a lot of big boards. Chiefs drafted him. We thought that was all along. Justin Reed's going to be gone. Jaden Hicks takes over in that position for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's a position. I know they brought back Kareem Hunt at running back. I know they brought back Juju at wide receiver. It does not matter for this year's draft because those are going to create competition for those positions up in St. Joe. I don't expect Juju to get playing time if they do this draft properly.
I still think they probably will give him some playing time. Even if they were to go get another receiver, I still think Juju's going to be a part of the mix because he's a veteran and he knows their system. 2 years playing for in the Chiefs system now in the last 3 years. I definitely think he's going to get playing time.
Well, you hope even he's the fifth receiver. You hope he's the fifth receiver because you got Worthy, Rice, and Brown in your top 30.
Yeah, that would be the ideal situation. But, yeah, I definitely think he's going to play. I mean, even though he's definitely not what he was when he was in Pittsburgh or even that first year in Kansas City. But he still brings you some value because he's a veteran, he understands the system, and he's a guy that at points has been reliable. He's not a guy you want to target 70 to 90 times in a season. He's a guy that you probably want to be somewhere in the mark of like maybe 40 targets in a season. Not a whole lot of usage.
Top 30 visits for the Chiefs. Each team can have 30 players come in and visit for their top 30 visits that they have. Although the new rule that passed, you can talk to them on the phone now. Prospects during the legal tampering period for free agents, you can talk to some of the players.
Yeah, it's about time. I mean,
but, yeah, they should have done that.
But they've been tampering for years anyway.
But that's what they're going to do. But they can have top 30 visits. Here's the thing with the Chiefs and top 30 visits. It's oftentimes to see what you're going to get rounds 5 through 7 or undrafted. It's your chance to answer unanswered questions that you have on certain players. And you'll see a lot of, well, the Chiefs are bringing in so-and-so for a top 30 visit. Doesn't mean they're always going to draft them. Like Harold Fannin, the tight end / H-back from Bowling Green, who did not have a great combine speed-wise.
Or didn't look that great. I mean, in the whole pre-draft process, hasn't looked that great.
He's coming for visit, but he did have 117 catches for 1,500 yards for Bowling Green this past year and 10 touchdowns. So you can't sneeze at that. He was able to catch the football quite a bit at Bowling Green. So there's some competition maybe for Carson Steele or that H-back role for the Chiefs if that's the direction they
maybe,
go.
Or
if they bring him. Who knows?
Yeah, because it could be a situation where like I can see that being one of the smoke screens. And if they do decide to go tight end, it would be a guy like Elijah Arroyo, Colston Loveland, somebody like that.
I've seen Aronde Gadsden sometime from Syracuse, had 7-3 catches, but he's a converted wide receiver to tight end at Syracuse. So anyway, Fannin's coming in. That was news about top 30 visits. Here's the thing. Last year, they did bring in Kingsley for a top 30 visit, and they did draft him. They brought in Carson Steele for a top 30 visit. Obviously, he went undrafted. They got him as an undrafted free agent. The year before, in 23, the Chiefs brought in Rashee Rice. Obviously, they liked that selection because they drafted Rashee Rice. And B.J. Thompson was another one of those players brought in. But a lot of times, it's for depth on the top 30 visits or just, like I said, questions that you need answered.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why I don't think people should read in too much into the top 30s, because if the Chiefs are one of those teams that you regularly hear whenever the media, when they do those post-draft press conferences with the guys at the Chiefs draft, and they bring those guys in, and generally one of the things you hear is like, oh, did you talk to the Chiefs before the draft? No. Not at all.
And Kelsey, I remember when he was drafted that night,
yeah,
he was on the conference call and I was there. And the old question they'll always ask is, talk to the Chiefs? Have you talked to the Chiefs? And remember, he got a call that came in from Missouri and he thought the Rams
right
were drafting him, Kelsey, at that point. And he did say that Jeremy Shockey was his player comparison the night of the draft.
Yeah, like it's, you just don't hear very many times where the Chiefs draft a player and that player talked to the Chiefs before the draft. It's just like Worthy talked to them at the combine, but there wasn't an official visit at all.
And they liked Worthy a lot from the combine
they did,
in
yeah
the interviews.
Because everyone knew. As soon as he ran that 4-2-1, everybody was looking at the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, Chiefs might have to trade up to get him.
It's that smoke screen that they played there. They
yeah
were able to trade up with the Buffalo Bills. Isaiah Bond, Texas wide receiver that transferred from Alabama, was at Texas here. He was the one that was, quote, going to beat Worthy's record at the combine. He didn't.
Nope.
He ran a 4.39. That's still blazing fast. It's not 4.21, but it's still blazing fast that he ran a 4.35 at his pro day, if you're believing that. But he came in for a top 30 visit as well. Our text line, Jay's Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We'll do a question answer period later on if you'd like to call in at 913-586-7965. We have Thor Nystrom coming up in just a little bit to kind of kick off the draft talk. Someone here says they're going to go shower and wants me to talk Royals in hour number two.
That ain't happening.
It's a draft special. I love the Royals. I want to see the Royals do well. The Royals are off today. They got Baltimore coming in this weekend. But this is a draft special. It'll be all draft conversation tonight with Chris and I and Julio. We'll take a timeout. We got Thor Nystrom, one of our draft guys we've had on for the last couple of years. He does a great, great job. He lives up in the Twin Cities, went to KU, so he has that kind of reference about him well, but he's a great mocker. We'll talk to him next. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, home of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals and Kansas State Wildcats. Jay Binkley, Chris Sunocero from Character Concerns, and Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Talking draft, our first draft special of the year. Plenty more the rest of this month, including live coverage on the first round and live coverage on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. But joining us now, his name is Thor Nystrom, at ThorKU on Twitter, MLB Fantasy Life, NFL Draft Analyst, and all-around good guy who's joined us from time to time talking draft. What's up, Thor?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thor, are you there, my friend?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on with you, man? I see you've been busy putting your lineman list out today.
Yeah, we're... I just turned in edge defender, so I only got three left, and then I have my funnest day of the year, which is slotting my 500 board. A lot of work nice. To get there, you know, pushing that boulder up the hill, but yeah, we are almost there.
What would you think of when you sat here and looked at the tackles? Obviously, that's been a popular pick for the Chiefs. I mean, people watch the Super Bowl. They understand they need help on the offensive line. We all know that Brett Veach has never drafted an Ohio State guy, so you got to take Simmons maybe out of the fold. They did go and get Jalen Moore in free agency. Do they really have a guy that could play left tackle at 31, or would you shy away from it from the Chiefs at 31? You're going to get a bunch of guys that are going to move to guard or right tackle.
I think you have a possibility of getting a solid prospect there or a potential of a small trade-off. There's multiple scenarios here where a couple of those tackles filter down the board, maybe a bit further than people think. Connerly would be one example of this. You know, the team see him a couple different ways. You know, do the Chiefs like him? The guy who is a very good athlete, who is very good in pass pro, just lacks a little bit of play strength, you know, coming forward. But can we work around that in the run game? You're going to get a special, potential special guy in pass pro. But yeah, I do think possibilities are there to get a guy who can come in and play for you early.
Now, what about Ariante Ursary? He did play for the Gophers last year at offensive line. He came in for a Chiefs top 30 visit. Arms are still under 34 inches like Andy Reid likes, but it's a Kansas City guy. He played here at Ruskin High School in the Kansas City area. Very good zone run defender blocker and pass blocker as well. Just gave up 2 sacks on the year. But a very good offensive lineman, played for the Gophers. You probably had a chance to see him. He is from the Kansas City area, and they did bring him in for a visit.
Yeah, I sure did. I've seen him up close many a times, and I think Ursary is a bit underrated. You know, you have a massive, massive human being who has that sort of dancing bear dichotomy with his footwork. He's extremely light on his feet for a 330-plus pounder. That's why he's good in the zone, blocking the zone run game, you know, to your point with that ambulatory, especially at that size. He can hit his mark. He can also get out to the second level and pick off linebackers. And then, you know, as the pass protector guy, you mentioned he doesn't have elite length. It is adequate for the boundary if he is going to potentially slot in as a right tackle at the NFL level, but just big-time power. You are not beating that guy with a bull rush. He shuts it down. You know, it's like a cruise ship anchor that he drops. And so he can make the opponent a bit more predictable by taking that out of their repertoire for a game. Because, again, you're not going to go fire on fire with him with that. You're going to have to beat him with movement. Certainly you can, but you know, again, he doesn't have to load up for the power. He has all the natural power that he needs.
So let's say that the Chiefs decide not to go offensive tackle in the first round. Let's say that day two, they're looking at 63 or at 66 or maybe even a third round, maybe even later in the late third round, like 95. Where would you go if you were the Chiefs trying to get a tackle on day two?
For me, Ursary would be dang near right up there. The guy that we were just talking about, you know, it's a guy that I think is going to fall into day two and maybe the middle of day two. You know, the gap teams, they seem a little bit skittish. There's teams that are skittish with his pass pro, potentially, but I'm okay with that stuff at right tackle. You know, and again, we talked about the strengths of his game. If he gets into the middle of the second round, latter part of the second round, that's where I would try to act on that. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's Ursary. Like I said, I think he's underrated.
What about William and Mary left tackle Charles Grant? What do you think of him?
Yeah, Grant definitely has potential. You know, are you going to play him inside? Is that a guard or is that a tackle at the next level? I tend to think maybe his game would play up on, you know, on the inside at the NFL level, but I'm definitely a fan of his. He's the guy that can tangle with the higher caliber prospects. We saw that. So yeah, I'm a fan of Grant's game.
Now, Thor, when you look at this, and obviously the offensive line, you know, many people, and including Chris and I, look at the edge and defensive line as the top two positional groups at the draft. Running back's no slouch either. The running backs are right up there as far as best positional group than wide receivers. And then towards the end, kind of the safeties and corners. How about you when you look at this draft and you think about best groups, position groups in this draft?
Definitely running back. So it would be at the top. I mean, this is a running back class that may, at the end of the day, be able to make a case of the best of the past 25 years, 30 years. I mean, this could be a historic running back class. The other one for me is IDL. I really like the IDL class. I like the guys at the top, but I also think that there is really, really good depth there. Like in through day two and into the early parts of day three, you can pick off guys no matter what your need is, right? Like you have the active undersized three technique guys that I think could be had at, you know, at a value late third round, early fourth round. You also have the war daddy occupying, line them up over center, you know, knockheads kind of guys that are going to be available around that price range too. So IDL would be the other one for me.
You just brought up an undersized IDL. One guy I've been really looking at is Omar Norman Lott from Tennessee. How do you see his game translating into the NFL, knowing that he's mainly a guy you only want rushing the passer as opposed to playing all three downs?
Yeah, so I have him at IDL 18 right now, and it's not because I don't like his game. It just speaks to the depth of the class. But, you know when you're looking at that, you have to compare him apples to apples. For instance, a guy like Ty Robinson, 288-pounder at the combine, and he lacks a little bit of length, but a taller guy, the kid out of Nebraska, Anais Peebles, you know, and Shamar Turner a little bit above that. Riley Mills is sort of around that range as well. But, again, speaking to the options that you have available, and it just sort of becomes what's your flavor. Norman Lott, for sure, he's a one-trick pony, but that trick is pretty cool. So as a situational guy coming in on those passing downs, he's absolutely going to have a value. And because of the depth of this class, almost assuredly will be acquired for a discount on draft weekend somewhere in the middle rounds.
So as far as your running backs are concerned, because I know they brought back Kareem Hunt, but I definitely think the Chiefs could definitely use a running back. Chris and I did our mock. We had we had Dylan Sampson, the SEC Offensive Player of the Year, with 1,400 yards out of Tennessee, on the Chiefs in the third round. This draft looked extremely deep. I don't know when the run's going to begin on running backs. I don't know when you think the run might begin in the second round or third round. Is there kind of a target area of running backs that you think will start being the run?
I think there's going to be a Congo line of them starting on Friday. Okay. You know, I think in round one, we're going to get two. I'm pretty confident in that. I don't think we get to three, but the NFL really likes Omarion Hampton. And if he gets to 20, the Chiefs are going to be facing him twice a year going forward. I don't know if he'll get to 20. That's, of course, where the Broncos pick. But, you know, the outside of that, I think the other guys were going on Friday, and you're going to see the Ohio State kids off the board real quick. Caleb Johnson will be interesting. You know, does he go around them? Is that going to be more middle to late second round? But yeah, you're just going to get a procession of them starting on Friday night.
If you had to pick one guy that isn't like Hampton, Henderson, Ginty, any guys like that, like a sleeper running back that you think could be one of the elite guys coming out of this class at running back, who would you pick?
For sure, Caleb Johnson. who you guys will love my comp for Caleb Johnson because it is near and dear to your heart.
And
most people, there's a lot of people around the nation when I say this comp, they don't know this guy. I know that I'm speaking to the correct audience here. I comp Caleb Johnson to Larry Johnson.
Extremely
similar running styles. You know, you have the big hammer, but they run the angular upright style. And it's the same thing of like the patience behind the line. You force the linebackers to declare, especially on those outside zone runs. You force them to declare what gap they're going through before you pick yours. That's how Caleb Johnson ends up getting running through more wide open holes in that outside zone system than analogous backs. The idea of running through a hole, that is the runway that he needs to access top speed. And this gets back to the Larry Johnson thing, because as you guys know, once you had that 225-pound guy at full speed, it was nearly impossible to impede his progress until he crossed the goal line, right? It's like, you know, when the dinosaur escapes containment at Jurassic Park and all of a sudden all the sirens are going off, when those guys like that are able to access their top speed, you're in real trouble. Caleb Johnson only ran a 4.57. However, on that run, he reached 22 miles per hour, which was near the top of the running back class. And interestingly, was the exact same number that we got from the Iowa GPS tracking system with him, the high level speed. The reason he ran a 4.57 was he ran a 7th percentile 10-yard split. That, you know, again, he needs the runway to access that. But because of how instinctual and patient and his vision in that outside zone concept, he is able to access that.
Talking to Thor Nystrom, Fantasy Life, if you want to check out his bio, he's rated a lot of different position groups. And last but not least, the wide receiver group, Tetteroe McMillan was your number one receiver. I've seen mixed reviews on him. I really liked him through the draft process, definitely showed it a lot more this year than he did the previous year. Matthew Golden certainly getting a lot of run from Texas after his 4.29 40 at the combine. Luther Burden still sitting right out there too from Missouri. People know him in the slot, but the first two picks, you kind of have those outside receivers, and the next two as far as what the slot would be in Igbuka at 3 and Luther Burden at 4. Any of those particular guys you would take a chance on if they were there at 31?
If Golden got there, for sure. I don't think McMillan will. Golden would be the guy that I would have to heavily consider at that point, because he's one of the only other guys in this class outside of McMillan that has proven over multiple years he can win on the boundary and in the slot. And of course, they don't have their body, their frames and stuff couldn't be more opposite. Golden's on the smaller side. But, like, you know, you guys remember when it was like Zay Flowers was coming out and people were like, oh, he's too small to play on the boundary. Yeah. And it's like, well, but I saw him cook future NFL cornerbacks over and over again on the boundary at Boston College. Pretty sure he will be able to beat the same guys now that, you know, he put on a different helmet or whatever. It's the same thing with Matthew Golden. We've seen him beat NFL cornerbacks. He was amazing down the stretch when Texas, the end of the regular season, SEC title game into the playoff. Matthew Golden's game really, really emerged. They had a quarterback who struggled throwing down the field, Quinn Ewers. He likes to do the timing short concepts, a lot of throws to the running backs, a lot of throws to the tight ends. And then the beginning of the season, Texas was trying to make Isaiah Bond Xavier worthy. You know, as you guys recall, you guys plucked Xavier from Texas, and to replace him, Steve Sarkisian went out and got Isaiah Bond. He wasn't it. Matthew Golden was it. He was sitting right under their noses, and he is a worthy wide receiver too in this class, in my opinion.
Yeah, Matthew Golden, definitely his voice is heard by Andy Reid, former BYU guy, and Matthew Golden's an interesting pick. Isaiah Bond, by the way, is coming in for a top 30 visit with the Chiefs. That means they're going to draft him. They rarely draft guys that they bring in. So with Matthew Golden, do you see him more on the slot or the boundary? Because he can do both.
It's a guy that I think can go interchangeably between the two, series in, series out, play in, play out. This is an under-discussed aspect of his evaluation. Where he gives you value is you can move that dude around to maximize matchups, not only for himself, of course, but also for the other dudes that you have on your receiving core. If you have other interchangeable parts, depending on the constitution of the coverage across from you and the players that they're lining up against right across from them, you can move those dudes around. Again, we know that Golden can win on the boundary. He can win at all three levels. We also saw really cool things with him in the slot. He's very sudden on the in-breaking stuff, very reliable hands. He creates separation, really good route runner. He's one of those speed toggle guys. You know, it's like on the jet ski, like zoom up. Now we throttle down. Now we zoom up. It's really difficult for the defenders to get a beat of, you know, like where his feet are going. Where is the route break going to happen? So they're typically behind at that point, and you are not catching up to him out of the route break. He's so good. The footwork's so efficient.
Awesome stuff. Thor Nystrom, follow him on Twitter, @ThorKU. We love talking to him this time of year, especially. We like talking to him any time of the year, but the draft, especially. ThorFantasyLife.com. Thor, thanks a million, man. I know you get other stuff to go do tonight as we're getting closer and closer to the draft. Thanks a million, my friend.
Always good talking to you, boys.
All right, man.
Thanks, sir.
There's Thor right there.
I forgot that Ariante Arisuri went to my high school, Ruskin High School.
He's a Ruskin guy.
Yeah. And just so you know, this show brought to you by J&M Displays. Apply now and shoot off large-scale firework displays at jnmdisplays.com. I'm a big fireworks fan.
Let's go.
I love shooting them off on July 4th and the days around July 4th.
Draft night, man.
Yeah. Hey, let's shoot them off. I'm not shooting anything off. But if y'all if y'all want to apply to shoot off these large-scale fireworks, I would love it. I love a good fireworks show.
There you go. Chris Unicero, Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the Aspiration. It was Thor Nystrom there. We'll talk to Josh Edwards from CBS about 7:30. We'll come back. We'll kind of dissect kind of what Thor was talking about there.
A lot of interesting things he said.
Yeah, some things he talked about, including the local kid that could be a tackle option
could be
for
a
the
tackle
Chiefs
for the
at 31.
Chiefs.
We'll discuss all that next. And welcome back to the Character Concerns Draft Special right here on 96.5 The Fan. Jay Binkley, Chris Unicero, Julio Sanchez producing.
This show is brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC for siding, windows, decks, and more. It has to be Powell Exteriors KC and PowellExteriors.com.
And don't forget about the draft party at the Landing once again. It was at the Landing last year and it was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
Great food,
great venue.
Drinks, great venue.
Yeah, enjoyed it there.
It was a big area for Chiefs fans to come in
yes.
and watch a draft. Got a little wild there when they traded the Buffalo Bills to come up and get Xavier Worthy. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Starts at 6 p.m. Chris and I are going to do a live show that night there. Plus, we're doing the draft contest again, so you can come in. Think you're good at it? It's instead of $610,
we'll
you win.
We'll all get most of it wrong.
You get $965.
Yeah, we upped it
now,
this year.
Plus an autographed Juwan Taylor helmet as a prize. So don't forget to come out there. That the whole staff there from 96.5 The Fan will be out there for that. But when you go to a different station, that means more money. 965.
Well, we didn't go to a different station. We just changed our frequency.
965 is more money than 610, of course.
Right.
But anyway, that was Thor talking offensive linemen in the beginning. I understand the draw. I understand the allure. I understand that everybody in their mocks have a tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though they went out in free agency and got a tackle. And I think Jalen Moore, to be honest with you, spells a lot like it did in 2020 when it was Sam Cosmi and Eichenberg and Leatherwood and those type of guys. And the Chiefs are like, yeah, we'll try to get Trent Williams, which they tried that until like 2 a.m. They finally signed a deal to come back with Frisco. They really wanted that. And there were the Ravens willing to trade Orlando Brown plus pick number 58, which turned into Nick Bolden for the Kansas City Chiefs. I would expect that kind of move again. They obviously were interested in Ronnie Stanley in free agency, allegedly, and things like that. But short-arm tackle class, and that doesn't fit in what Andy Reid looks for, even though Jalen Moore is underneath that 34-and-a-quarter-inch arms like he typically goes out for.
Right, but in the case of Jalen Moore, he's someone that has at least shown that he could play at an adequate level in the NFL, as opposed to these guys coming in who many teams think are going to have to move inside.
He took some seasoning. He's former fifth-round pick out of Western Michigan. Played with Sky Moore, believe it or not.
One of the things that that Thor did bring up was, like, Josh Connerly Jr. And, like, I don't think Connerly's a fit for what the Chiefs are looking for, mainly not even just because of the length issue, but also he's not that strong. Like, he brought up, like, play strength. He doesn't move anybody in the run game at all. Like, not at all. Like, Wanya Morris, when he gets in the run game, he mauls people. Kingsley Suamata in the run game mauls people. Josh Connerly Jr., when he was in college, did not maul people. That's a problem. You get to the NFL, you're facing grown-ass men. If you can't maul people at the collegiate level, what happens when you get to the NFL and you face grown-ass men? And you if you can't maul them at the lower level, you're definitely not doing it at the bigger level.
And as far as Ursary is concerned, it played left tackle up at Minnesota, had one sack of her 419 pass pro drops. I'd heard he actually gave up two sacks, but that's here nor there whether how many sacks he gave. He wasn't giving him very many sacks. They did that zone running scheme a lot with P.J. Fleck and the Gophers. But he is a local kid, went to Ruskin High School. We know P.J. Fleck
high school
recruits out of Kansas City quite a bit. But a big dude, and a lot of people are expecting, you know, he's always considered long arms and everything else, even though they were a little bit shorter than what you thought. But these pro days, they've been growing about an inch of arms, which is what happened to Will Campbell right. at LSU. But a lot of guys will see being moved to guard or right tackle. Clearly, I don't think that the Chiefs would go tackle at 31 just for an experience. You want someone experienced for Patrick Mahomes because essentially your whole left side of your line is going to be different. You know, you got Juwan Taylor back. All the money dictates he's coming back. And we know that. Trey Smith, franchise tag, he'll be back. Creed Humphrey's back at center. Then the left side of your line will look different. But here's the thing. It will be a downgrade wherever you go with Joe instead of Joe Tooney. He was an all-pro, and yes, he struggled a bit when he went to tackle, especially in the Super Bowl, but played pretty decent out of position up until then. Again, shorter arms, two-inch shorter arms than what Andy Reid prefers, but you will be downgrading at left guard, whether it's Kingsley, which it probably will be, or maybe somebody through the draft, we don't know, and then left tackle, Jalen Moore. So that part of your line will be new.
Yeah, I'm not buying the tackle pick. I think it's because a lot of people don't consider Jalen Moore a sexy option. So it's like, oh, well, they probably still need a tackle. Let's pick one because it's easy. And it's like,
and let's go Ohio State, too.
Right, and let's go Ohio State, a school they've never drafted from since Veach took over as GM. And we've heard him basically kind of question a lot of those Ohio State guys.
And Big Ten, by the way.
Big Ten in general. Yeah, they are very heavy on the SEC when they draft. I get it. I understand why so many people are mocking tackles to the Chiefs because, again, the confidence in Jalen Moore, not there because he's on very much a prove-it type deal. But I think when you look at what the Chiefs, how they have operated in the last few years, I think – we kind of realized the Chiefs went out of character by starting Kingsley Suamatia last year as a rookie. We both sat
Wanye
there like
through the OTAs. Yeah. And Kingsley wants the
when we were confused when Wanye was getting playing time as a rookie in 23.
He was inactive kind of towards the end of the year.
Yeah, he was getting in, and look at him this past year, and it's like they really kind of went away from him. Like I think in this situation, the Chiefs were kind of looking, I'm sure Mahomes was in their ear like, hey, I can't, no more of these rookie guys out here who don't know how to block.
Yeah, and the William and Mary, obviously, that's a good selection.
Yeah,
to
Charles
Mann,
but he's got he's going to sit for you.
But it's an FCS guy.
Yeah, he's got to sit for you.
And same with North Dakota State. Right. Could be guard, probably going to be guard in the NFL instead of
maybe,
tackle.
Maybe. He's got the length. He's almost 35-inch arms. He's got the size. It's just a matter of, getting acclimated to talent. So, like, don't sleep on him being a tackle. I think most teams see him as a tackle, not a guard. But the thing is even if he is a tackle, he's not going to play immediately. No. He's going to have to sit for a year, and he's going to have to learn how to play. Yeah. Because much like we saw with Kingsley, just because you did well at whatever level you were at before in college, if you haven't played a lot of the elite talent at edge rusher, it's a different game.
It is a different game.
The minute he was facing grown-ass men at edge, it was a different game for him.
Yeah, this is what Brett Veach said a couple of years ago regarding the Big Ten.
Well, listen, I mean, so here's the thing. So I can't say, because I don't want to, you know, have my guys barred from ever entering again. So yeah, I can't say teams, but if you want me, the closest I can give you is just double check those times on those Big Ten schools. All right, that's all I'll say.
So that's all he said. And he said that with Fesco in the morning. It was Kling and Fesco at the time, and when Veach was on with them. So make what you want about which team is the quote one that maybe fudged the numbers at the pro day, and we'll get the wide receivers as well and running backs throughout the course of the show. For sure. We'll need to take a timeout. We'll go through that and our first-round mock selections, who we did pick on character concerns for the Chiefs to go. Matt Miller actually picked two of these same guys that we did that's on our mock. We'll do that stuff next. Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Chris Unocero from Character Concerns, and, of course, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. That was Thor Nystrom we had on at 6:15. Our first mock has been out, first of many. We'll do several more before
we got one coming up on Monday night.
We got another one coming up Monday night. We'll put that on Tuesday. But we went Nick Scorton, the edge out of Texas A&M in round one. Joshua Farmer, the defensive lineman, three technique. It could do a lot of different things on the defensive line.
Out of Florida State.
Three, two-eye.
He's mainly a three, mainly a pass rusher. He can defend the run, but he's mainly a pass rusher.
He's good at eating the run. Yeah. He's also got good pass rusher. Derek Harmon's the guy that I really like out of Oregon. He can do it all. He can do three, two-eye.
Right.
Do a lot of different things on the defensive line. And
he can do a little edge, too.
Transfer from Michigan State. Played there. Got a full-time starter role at Oregon, can rush the passer from the defensive line position, plus stop the run. Dylan Sampson, the running back, we go in the third round out of Tennessee. Isaiah Bond, the wide receiver, in the third round, pick 95. Mitchell Evans, the tight end from Notre Dame, that was looked upon a lot higher before the season started. So it'd be a second in a row as they got Jared Wiley in the fourth round last year. He played all 16 games this year for Notre Dame. Malachi Moore, we went safety in round seven. Zachariah Franklin, the wide receiver out of Illinois, who did not go to the combine but had a productive season in Illinois for the Illini last year. And Azir Stackhouse, defensive lineman out of Georgia for Mr. Irrelevant, who Matt Miller went from ESPN in his mock as well.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Stackhouse. I think he could be a Derek Nnadi, Mike Pinnell type, a run defender. You plug in there first, second down, and I think a slight majority of his snaps were played as a nose tackle as opposed to a three tech. So
he played a lot of nose. He could play three tech.
It was almost even between nose and three tech, but mainly nose.
Very strong dude.
Very strong dude. I mean, dominant in the middle of the D line. I mean, that's exactly what I think they need, an infusion of youth in the middle of that line, especially with a run defender.
Well, the Chiefs like that rotation, right, and defensive line. It's what they like to do. But again, seventh round picks for a lot of teams are dart throws. Let's grab the guy before they're undrafted free agents.
Right.
The Chiefs have gotten productive players. They're like Nazi Johnson, rotational piece in the secondary.
Jalen Watson,
Isaiah Pacheco, seventh round pick. So the seventh rounders hadn't exactly been throwaways for the Kansas City Chiefs. But running back is a position I definitely want to see him run. We went Dylan Sampson out of that, but it's like pick your poison. Whether you want to go there later on with Devin Neal out of Kansas, DJ Giddens had a great combine at Kansas State. And then if you break the curse and you go Ohio State, there's always Keyshawn Judkins early on and Trevion
Quinshawn Judkins.
Quinshawn Judkins. And Keyshawn, whatever you want to call him.
So what you call him by his name, Quinshawn. Another guy, and Thor brought him up when we had him on earlier in the hour. Caleb Johnson, running back out of Iowa. I'm a huge fan.
Big time production.
Of Caleb. I've been a big fan of him since the 23 season. I was looking at him. I was like, okay, this is a kid to watch out for in the 25 draft. And so he was one of the guys all year long. This year I was watching after Jenty and Omarion Hampton. And I mean, look, I get a lot of people, you start talking about Larry Johnson, it's like, you know, because we know how things went towards the end of his career here, and obviously, you know, his stuff off the field.
But as far as on the football field, that's a great comparison.
I think the comparison is great. It's like a pickup truck that it takes a little bit for that pickup truck to gain some momentum, to pick up speed. But once it gets going, it's flying. And he's 6'1", 220, over 220. Yeah,
1,500 yards rushing, 6.5 yard average, and 21 touchdowns.
And you watch him and Jenty, from a stylistic standpoint, very similar. We're going to break tackles. It's going to be hard to bring us down. The only difference is Jenty's 5'9", just over 200 pounds, and you got a 6'1", 220-pound running back in Caleb Johnson that is going to be hard to tackle at the NFL level because there's not that many running backs in the league as big as him. Like, I'm telling you, like, I really, really like him. For the Chiefs, he would be my number two running back behind Omarion Hampton if they could get him. I would love to have Caleb Johnson here. After that, it would be DJ Giddens, and then it would be Devin Neal. But I love Caleb Johnson because that size is just not something you see in the league anymore at running back that much. And on top of that, you know, as Thor brought up, like, he can get up to speed. He doesn't have great acceleration, but when he hits that top speed, it's pretty high.
Do you like Cam Skedaboo?
The only issue I got with Scattaboo is the size. 5'9", just over 200 pounds. I think he's a very skilled player. Like, to me, he could be what I think the Chiefs saw in Clyde Edwards-Helaire when they took him, because he can do all the things you want out of a running back. He obviously is a good runner. He can catch the ball. He's definitely, I'll say this, he works hard in pass pro. He's not, like, great at it, but he works hard at it. But the size scares me. And then, you know, the lack of speed as well was something we saw at the combine. That the lack of speed kind of concerns me with Scattaboo.
Because I think Caleb goes at least in the second round, to be honest with you. I think Jenty and O'Hampton are the only first-round running backs, to be honest with you. Then we get into Trevion Henderson, Dylan Sampson, Judkins, Neal, Scattaboo, Jordan James out of Oregon.
Right.
Another prospect to watch. Bashard Smith out of SMU. And Trevor and Etienne, which is very interesting, coming out of Georgia.
No.
Smaller size, but...
No, I he was at Florida. I watched him play. No.
But he's a third down type back.
He's a Jet McKinnon. And he's not a great pass protector. That's my only issue with Etienne, is like, he's probably best as a Jet McKinnon type, but he can't really pass protect like that. So.
And Bashil Tutin is a guy that a lot of people have seen.
He's flying up some running back rankings.
4.29 speed. 4.32, I think, is what he ran.
Really fast running back. A lot of people like him.
Yeah. 210 pounds, bigger type dude, but ran that 4.32 40 at the combine.
Yeah, Tootin's a guy that is really star. I've seen him like listed on a lot of teams' top five running backs for the draft class. That's a guy that you.
And he can return as well.
He can return as well, so there's value there, especially early on, because he's not going to start early on. He's probably going to be a rotational guy in his first year, and then next year would be the year you would expect him to take over that role with Pacheco leaving and with it being a one-year deal for Kareem this year. I could definitely see Tutin being a guy that ends up being a dark horse type guy that kind of comes out of nowhere and ends up being one of the best running backs from this class.
But I do think the Chiefs, despite bringing back Kareem Hunt, I think they still go running back.
Me too. I think it's one of those, it's going to be like, we're going to take a guy, but we're not going to rely on him in 25 unless he is so good that we just can't keep him off the field. I think it's going to be a situation where early on, it's like, you know, like we saw with Pacheco, where Pacheco didn't play a lot early. And then he started to get more reps as the season went along. Actually, I think his first game, he actually had a lot of carries. But, like, he didn't get that starting role until, like, midway through the 22 season.
And we do not see a second contract coming forward for
– No.
This year, he'll play. He's a free agent in 2026, Pacheco. Hey, he's a hard runner. I understand he's an angry-type runner. Like, he runs hard. Except – on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1.
Right.
And that was Kareem Hunt that was getting those carries.
Yeah.
He runs hard, but not when you want him to.
He runs hard. He just doesn't run smart. He's a guy that, like, for someone with 4.37 speed, you would never guess it because he doesn't break them. He doesn't break those runs.
He's got that home run ability if he gets in space.
He just doesn't get in space because he runs into contact.
And they've been working on his hands throughout camp and stuff like that, making him an adequate receiver. Because you got to get better. If you're going to be a back for this team, you've got to be that extra layer of protection. You've got to be able to block. That's one thing P. Ryan was able to do.
P. Ryan was a very reliable blocker, very reliable receiver, and those are the reasons why he was in there in crucial moments.
But he's back with the Bengals.
Yep, because they realized he's actually a good running back. I don't know why they let him go.
The Broncos cut him, too.
I don't know why the Broncos got rid of him because he was really good. The Chiefs just grabbed him right up.
I
was so excited when they got P. Ryan. Yeah. Like, I remember watching him terrorize KU fans back in the day at Oklahoma. Like,
he had 427 yards rushing on one day. Yeah.
Oh, I produced that game. That Bob Davis was so sad. Yeah, Bob Davis was really sad that day. I remember that game. But, like I said, I think you need a guy, like the Chiefs really need to focus on getting a guy that's a three-down back, getting a guy that has all the tools, not some of the tools, not just he's a good runner, but he can't catch, can't pass pro. Get the guy with all the tools so you know that you don't have to think about that position for a few years. And if he turns out to be good enough to warrant a second contract, that's awesome. That's perfect. Because I do think the Chiefs are at their best offensively when they have a good running back that they can trust to be a three-down guy. The best we've seen from Patrick Mahomes was when he had a guy named Kareem Hunt back when he was in his prime, able to go out there and be a three-down
guy. Leading the league in rushing,
being a threat in the passing game and in the rushing game. That, to me, was the best we saw from this Chiefs offense.
But I do think they will go that position for sure. This is the Character Concerns Draft Special you're listening to. Coming up, we'll talk about a lot of different things, including address the tackle question again. And Chad Ryder put out his top two positions for each team in the NFL. We'll look at who he's got for the Kansas City Chiefs. One of these names is very familiar, or both these names are very familiar with guys that we've talked about with Chad Ryder and Josh Edwards. Comes up from CBS at 7:30. We'll do all that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.